Very good to see everyone here this morning. As we mentioned in the announcements, we have many that, for this small number, that are dealing with flu or flu-like symptoms. That seems to be going well around the area this week, well, past few days. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the 21st Psalm. We will read that together. Our lesson today will be based upon thoughts found therein. This is one of David's psalms, Psalm 21 and verse 1. O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessing of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you place upon him, for you make him the most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. And throughout the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them. Their offspring you will destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. Though they intend evil against you and devised a plot, they will not succeed. For you will make them turn their back. You will aim with your bowstring at their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 21 is believed by many to be a couplet of two psalms. Goes with Psalm 20. Psalm 20 calls upon the Lord to answer in the day of trouble. Many commentators, scholars suggest that Psalm 20 was a prayer offered by David in anticipation of a battle with his enemies. And Psalm 21 looks backward and is uttered in thankfulness for the victory that God provided to David in battle. One can approach this psalm in terms of studying this psalm in a number of ways. But I believe in terms of our purpose this morning and the purpose of preaching a lesson from the psalm, that we capture the true meaning of the psalm when we view it as a typical expression of King David towards Jehovah as his God. I find this psalm expressing in three ways how David approached Jehovah in his relationship with him. And I believe it illustrates the character of David that allowed him to be considered by God as a man who was after God's own heart. And therefore it has great value to us as children of God today, because if we understand that this is the proper expression of a mighty man of Israel in the relationship with that God, to the sense that we can incorporate these values in our own lives, that will mean that we can be people, men and women, who are also after God's own heart. So we point these things out to you, and there's three things we want to look at this morning very briefly. Three ways in which David approaches Jehovah in this psalm. First of all, David points out that he rejoices in Jehovah. And he rejoices in Jehovah in a number of ways. There is a joy that is part of our relationship with God as our Father and God as our Savior. And David points out how much joy he finds in his relationship with God. And he says, I rejoice in the strength of Jehovah in Psalm 21 and verse 1. And that is a theme that we find expressed in David's life. This is not the only psalm that mentions that. For instance, in Psalm 59 and verse 16, David says, "But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing on your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praise to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness." It's not as interesting. Didn't have this in my comments in the lesson this morning. But occasionally on the way to church, I get preached to by my wife, who's a very good Bible student. And she pointed out to me, she sends our children and our daughter-in-law Bible thoughts all the time, that she had sent one to our daughter, and it was just daughter-in-law. It was just really interesting that as Debbie basically analyzed the verse that she sent, that she pointed out, look, it says power. Our power that we get from God. That's what David's saying here. He says, I get great joy out of your strength. When I do not feel strong, David says, I find strength in you. And that gives me joy. He rejoices in Jehovah. He rejoices because God is strong, and in God he finds his own strength. Secondly, he rejoices in the salvation that is provided by Jehovah. Again, in Psalm 21 and verse 1. And I'm sure salvation in David's mind is that forgiveness of sins that God has provided him at various points in his life. And David often expresses his concern for that relationship between him as a child and God as his father, and the need for forgiveness by God. In Psalm 51 and verse 14, after David sinned with Bathsheba, and specifically after his conspiracy that resulted in the death of Uriah, David cries out in Psalm 51 and verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness." The God of my salvation. Now, there's more than one Hebrew word in the Bible and in the book of Psalms that could be translated by the word salvation. And it so happens that in Psalm 51 and verse 14, that it is the Hebrew word Yeshua, which can also be translated victory, which is the way the New American Standard offers that as an optional translation in its marginal notes. And if you look at the NIV uses the word victories in its translation. And so, deliver me of my blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my victory. You know, I don't know how often we think in those terms. When we think of ourselves and our limitations, we had the long discussion in Bible class this morning, culminating a couple weeks of study in Romans chapter 3, where Paul brings us and drives us to the conclusion that all men are under the wrath of God. We are sinners condemned by our sin. Well, what gives us a victory over sin? It is our relationship with God. He is our victory. He is our salvation. David's focus is on his enemies here and what they are doing or could do to him, but God gives him that salvation, gives him that victory. Proverbs 21 verse 31, Solomon says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord." Since David was a warrior king, he could have thought those victories of all those battles that he fought in the name of the Lord, beginning with Goliath, But through all of his kingdom, the battles that he fought with the enemies of Israel, or he could be thinking very personally of his own victory, the need that he had for salvation and victory over the sins that had beset him during the course of his lifetime. He says, I rejoice in that salvation, in that victory that is provided by Jehovah. And I think either one of those is appropriate in our lives. And then thirdly, he says in this psalm that he rejoices in the blessings that Jehovah has bountifully bestowed upon him. Psalm 21, just repeated over again in verses 2 through 5. Verse 2, he says, you've granted me my desires. In verse 3 of Psalm 21, he says, you have given me the blessings of good things. In Psalm 21:4, he says, you have given me life, the blessing of life, the length of days. In verse 4 again, he says, you have given me glory. He had received the splendor and the majesty of being God's king over God's kingdom. And most importantly, I believe in Psalm 21 and verse 5, he says, you have blessed me with your presence in my life. I am your servant. You are my God. There is so much for us to rejoice in. And even as we gather to worship on a day like this, and we've been through some pretty gloomy weather, I almost didn't recognize the sun came out. And we are in a time when people are struggling with the flu and other illnesses. How good is it for us to be able to be here today and to be able to sing the songs that Jonathan led and for us to share these things and just understand that there is joy in knowing and serving Jehovah. And that the problems of life can be put behind us. Our own failings can be put behind us because there is joy and there is victory for the servant of God in their relationship with their God. David says, I rejoice in Jehovah. The second thing that he says in Psalm 21 is that I trust in Jehovah. The king trusts Jehovah. There are two different Hebrew words that could be translated by the English word trust in the Old Testament. The word in this passage is the word betah. And according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it says that this word expresses a sense of well-being and security, which results from having something or someone in whom to place confidence. So David says, I feel good about my life because I can trust you. Because I do trust you. It's interesting to note that in the Septuagint, in the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, those translators always use the word hope. Which is from the Greek word elpis, rather than the word believe in, for this word bata. But I think it expresses more than the idea that the king believes in God. I believe the Hebrew idea of bata is not just, oh, I have this feeling, I accept the idea that there's a God out there. David believes in God in the sense that he has put his life in his hands. And in times of danger, he relies upon the Lord. Think about if you know the story of David. I've been reading in 1 and 2 Samuel for the last couple weeks. If you know that story, there are all the stories of David there. The number of times that his life was put in jeopardy, the number of times that he himself could take action to rid himself, for instance, of King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And he said, I will not lift up my hand against God's anointed. I'll trust God to take care of that. But I'm not going to be the one that strikes down the anointed king. And you read through those chapters, and there's way too much of that to include in a lesson like this. But I just suggest to you, if you don't understand what David means when he says, I trust in the Lord, sit down for about, it'll take you about an hour to read all the way through the story of David, and it begins in 1 Samuel and carries through 2 Samuel. And he says, I got through what I got through because I trusted in the Lord. And David sums up that trust that he has in the Lord really in two ways. He says in verse 7, I will not be shaken. His confidence in God gives him confidence. We see that in his life. We see that in the story that first introduces David to us, when he goes out as a young shepherd boy into the valley where the Philistines are on one side on a mountain and the children of Israel on the other side, and the great hero of the Philistines, Goliath, comes down and challenges the Hebrew and says, who will come out and fight me? And the warriors won't go. Saul himself won't go. But David goes. David's just a young lad. He's not a warrior. You remember the story? They tried to give him armor and their armor was too big for him. The way I kind of picture that is trying to put NFL gear onto a 12-year-old. How silly that would look. And David says, no, that's not me. And he goes down to the brook and he gets stones for his shepherd's sling. He goes out to meet Goliath. What does he say? He says, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the living God. And who won the victory? David said, I put my trust in the Lord. I will not be shaken. But of course, I think the verse that says that most to us is in the most familiar writing of David. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. David says it doesn't matter whether it's a giant or whether it's of my own mortality. I will not be shaken because I trust in you. And secondly, he says, this trust in God allows him to allow Jehovah to deal with the things that he cannot deal with. Specifically, to deal with his enemies. He will allow God to consider his enemies God's enemies. Psalm 21:8, your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. He invokes God's justice for the things in his life. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them. I think about David when he is driven from Jerusalem by his own son later in life. And his concern is about sparing the city of Jerusalem and sparing his people. And he says, if this be God's will, I will accept it. But if not, God will give the victory. God will ensure that his enemies do not succeed. Psalm 21, verses 11 and 12, though they intended evil against you and devised a plot, they will not succeed, for you will make them turn their back. I'm going to trust you. I will not be shaken. I will let you fight my enemies and my battles for me. So he rejoices in Jehovah. And he trusts in Jehovah. And finally, the king worships Jehovah. Psalm 21 and verse 13, be exalted, O Lord. In your strength we will sing and praise your power. That word exalt, he exalts Jehovah. It means to lift someone high. The word was used literally in Hebrew when you put something high above other things. But spiritually it has the idea of lifting God up above ourselves and above all other things in our lives. It was used in this spiritual sense of recognizing the higher position of God above his people. In Psalm 18 and verse 46, David says, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. I will lift you up. I will exalt you. I will put you into the first place in my life. He says, I will worship you with song and praise. I'll sing about your power and upon your strength. One common way that the Hebrews exalted their God was in their songs of praise. It is a way in which we can do that today, which we do today when we sing songs like Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Psalm 18 and verse 49, he says, therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. Psalm 104 and verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. David, in his thankfulness, offers such worship to God. I believe he worshiped God publicly with his nation, but I believe he worshiped God continually with his heart and his life. And so what I see in this psalm that makes it so valuable to me, I hope it's valuable to you, is that this psalm establishes for us what is really a cycle in the life of David. It represents how David lived his life and the way in which he lived his life that caused God to say, he is a man after my own heart. Look at the pattern of David's life. He rejoiced in Jehovah. He saw great value in his relationship with his God. How much value do we put upon our relationship with God? How important is it to us? I know it's important because you took time out of your day when a lot of people think this is a day for them to take the time to be here and to worship. But do we express that in our lives day by day? David saw great value in his relationship with his God, and because he valued that relationship, it developed that attitude of trust and confidence in him that God was with him, and with God he can handle every aspect of his life, both good and bad. And he recognized the blessing of having that relationship with God. He could be thankful for those blessings, and he could worship and give praise to the God who had given those things. And here's the point. And that caused him to rejoice. And that starts the cycle. It's like the spinning of a wheel. Where's the starting point and where's the ending point? In the life of David, this attitude and this relationship is seen from the time we see him as a little boy, a young lad, who was keeping the sheep in his father's field, to the day that he was an old man and knew that as he told his son, I am going the way of all the earth. May each one of us see that value that David saw in the relationship with our God. And may we be encouraged to make that our own relationship with Him. And make it richer and stronger. And it will go with us every day of our lives. And take us all the way to the end. Thank you for your attention. If you'll get your songbooks out. It's what I had planned to say to you. Hope that you could be as encouraged by that as I am whenever I read this song. And the question becomes is, where is the Lord in your life? For a lot of us here, we've expressed our commitment to Him, and we just need to be encouraged to develop that and let it grow so that we can be more and more like saints like David and Abraham and the other heroes of the Bible. For others, the challenge may be, have you accepted the importance of our Lord and His Son Jesus Christ for your life and given your life to Him? And started that journey of faith. You need to do that. If you have not, trust the Lord and He will help you grow. And He will bring you through this life and the trials of this life. And bring you safely into eternal life. And if you're willing and ready to do that, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.
And close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sinner,
thy heart be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved, then why not? Tomorrow the sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time of them be wise, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, tonight, will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our God in pity lingers still, and with our voices love requires. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will be saved, then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses not, who will to Him their souls unite. Work is done, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Please be seated. Those who are to attend at the table shall come forward at this time.